Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our April 6, 2022 meeting of the Judicial Branch Budget Committee. We will now start the video feed and we are beginning the meeting. So first of all, I want to thank everybody for being here. We have a pretty full schedule of both open and closed sessions. So other than thanking you and hoping everyone's having a great spring or the beginning of spring, we shall get started. So first of all, let me remind everybody, as always, that this portion of the meeting is open to the public and we are recording. The meeting is being conducted virtually, which has a couple of consequences. It means the members of the public can watch us via a listen-only video feed. And also that to minimize noise, we should all have our microphones muted unless we are speaking. To the Budget Committee members and others who may be presenting to the committee today, please remember to unmute yourself, though, when you begin to speak, and then re-mute when you are done. And also, for the benefit of the public, if you could identify yourself before you began speaking, that would be much appreciated. That, Ms. Cowan, would you mind taking roll?
Judge Rubin.
I am here.
We couldn't hear you.
Oh, she got a new computer, so let's all be patient. I think she
Judge
meant
Mormon.
Judge Mormon.
With us right now. Judge Lockheed.
I'm here. Thank you.
Judge Mormon just texted me. She's in another meeting, but she'll be with us shortly.
Here.
Judge Hawk.
Present.
Here again.
I think Mr. Harrigan is in the same meeting with Ms. Mormon, and he'll be here shortly.
You have 4 of 7 members, so you do have a quorum.
I couldn't understand you.
We have 4 of 7 members available. We have a quorum.
So we have a quorum. Outstanding. All right, so our first order of business is going to be the open meeting minutes from March 9th. They're on page 4 and 5 of your materials. Did anyone have a motion?
Judge Bakke, I'll move to approve.
Thank you, Judge Bakke. We have a motion by Judge Bakke. Is there a second?
Second, Hop.
Hop seconds. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All right, seeing none. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? All right, thank you very much. That concludes the minutes portion of the meeting. We now move on to part 3 of our meeting, which is public comment. Ms. Cowan, does it remain true that we received no written public comment for this meeting? She's nodding her head yes, so I will take that as a yes. That does conclude the public comment portion of the meeting. Thank you, Ms. Cowan. We're now going to move on to several, four to be exact, matters being brought to us by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. As you know, once the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee arrives at a policy decision regarding any number of different issues that confront the trial court budget, they're brought to us for referral to the Judicial Council. So today we start with the minimum operating and emergency reserve policy. We have Judge Conklin, the chair of TICBAC, with us. He's being assisted today by Mr. Joseph Glavin, our Judicial Council Budget Services Analyst. I'll turn it over to Judge Conklin.
Judge Rubin, thank you. Good afternoon to all of you. As Judge Rubin noted, TICBAC has 4 matters before you this afternoon. In the interest of giving you plenty of time for your educational session, I'm going to keep my comments brief. You have full reports. We have staff on board to briefly present for each of these. And Brandy Oliveira, who's also reviewing, has come, as always, prepared very efficient and thorough reports for you. So the first is the minimum operating and reserve budget. This is reviewed every 2 years for the minimum operating and emergency reserve policy. And Joe Glavin is with us just to update us on that most current review. Joe?
Hello, committee members. My name is Joe Glavin, budget analyst in budget services, presenting on the minimum operating and emergency fund balance requirement from within the fund balance policy. This requirement, which directs courts to maintain an emergency fund balance of 5% of the first $10 million in expenditures, scaling down to 3% of expenditures over $50 million, has been suspended by the Judicial Council in two-year increments since 2012 in response to changes in statute that were affecting courts' fund balances. That includes establishment of the 2% state-level reserve in 2012-13, and it imposed 1% cap on court fund balances effective June 30, 2014. In July 2016, the 2% state-level reserve was replaced with a new $10 million state-level reserve in the trial court trust fund to provide emergency funding. And then in 2019, Government Code Section 77203 was amended to increase the percentage of unexpended funds from 1% to 3% of the court's operating budget from the prior fiscal year. The most recent action taken by the Judicial Council in 2020 suspended the minimum operating and emergency fund balance requirement through June 30, 2022, while advocacy efforts continue with the administration. During preparation of budget change proposals for 22-23-24, trial courts have shared a further increase to the cap above 3% continues to be a priority to support trial court operations. Today, the committee is asked to consider extending the suspension of the minimum operating and emergency fund balance policy for an additional 2 years until June 30, 2024, or earlier if Government Code 77203 is amended for consideration by the Judicial Council at its May 2022 business meeting. That concludes my presentation, and we are happy to take any questions.
Joe, thank you very much.
Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
And the recommendations at page 8 of your materials, Joe just read it almost verbatim. I appreciate that. So again, that's our presentation on this item.
All right. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Thank you. Justice Hill moves. And is there a second?
I'll second. Judge Mormon.
All right, there's a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? All right, is there further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? All those abstaining? All right, the matter passes unanimously. Thank you. And Ms. Cowan, you should mark me as an aye vote. All right, let's move on now to our second tickback item, and this is the trial court trust fund funds held on behalf issue. And this is going to be Judge Conklin again, and then this time, Mr. Wood, our senior analyst from Budget Services.
Judge Rubin, thanks again. The recommendation for your consideration, folks, is set forth on this item at in your report, and Cottrell's with us, is at page 17. And I think you're all familiar with funds held on behalf of. In a very brief summary, this allows courts to maintain funds above the 3% for ongoing projects. It does require periodic updating, and Cottrell's here to provide a recommendation as to how we might make that updating more efficient.
Hi, thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon. My name is Cottrell Wood. I'm a senior analyst with the Judicial Council Budget Services. As mentioned, item 2 of today's agenda is a recommendation by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, or TICBEC, to revise the current funds held on behalf policy requiring courts to, upon completion of an approved project or planned expenditure, report to the TICBEC within 90 days on the project or planned expenditure and how those funds were expended for consideration by the Judicial Council at its May 13, 2022 business meeting. So I'll provide just a little bit of background. Because I think it kind of wraps everything in, into a nice package. The current TICBEC recommended process, criteria, and required information for trial to request an allocation reduction related to the 3% fund balance cap allows funds to be retained in the trial court trust fund as restricted fund balance for the benefit of those courts. Included is the requirement that courts report to the TICBEC within 90 days of a completed project or planned expenditure and how those funds were expended. Now, Budget Services Currently surveys courts to determine if a project has been completed in order to comply with the 90-day reporting requirement and to report to the TICBAC on a quarterly basis. The process requires budget services staff to survey courts multiple times in a given fiscal year based on the expenditure plan, indicating a project or expenditure would be completed in that given fiscal year. Now, because projects often experience delays, setbacks in the past 2 years, a lot of them have been a result of COVID, quarterly surveys result in repeated requests with similar responses from the courts. Revising the current requirement for courts to report within 90 days of project completion to an annual report would result in a more streamlined process and would ultimately eliminate recurring court surveys, reduce court and council staff workload, and it would also better align with the fiscal year-end plan included in those funds held on behalf applications. Now, the current level of transparency and accountability of the funds held on behalf process would not be affected in any way by this revision. The ultimate recommendation as presented today is to be considered by the Judicial Council at its May 13, 2022 business meeting. Item one of the recommendation is to revise the current funds held on behalf policy, requiring that courts report to the TICBAC within 90 days of completion of a project or planned expenditure regarding how the funds were expended, from a quarterly to an annual reporting of all projects or planned expenditures completed in a fiscal year. Item two is to include a requirement on the annual reporting to include status updates on projects or planned expenditures not yet completed. And finally, would make language corrections to the current policy as appropriate. The proposed language corrections, or the proposed revised policy, if you will, is outlined in attachment 2B. Judge Rubin, that concludes my presentation, but I'm happy to answer any questions you or the budget committee may have.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. And the only observation I have, and I'm going to make it as an observation, but Mr. Wood, feel free to correct me, is that even without the quarterly reporting, there is plenty of oversight and tracking of all these projects in any event, and so we're not going to lose track of them. This is just kind of the redundant reporting, and it's not always beneficial, and it's costly.
You've summed it up perfectly.
And there is also there's also a subcommittee of TICBAC that monitors this as well. So there's multiple layers of vetting on this, and this just makes that more efficient.
Outstanding. All right, any other questions for Mr. Wood or Judge Conklin? All right, seeing none, is there a motion?
I move that we make the recommendation of the three items set forth on page 17 of the materials to the judicial.
I'll second.
All right, it's a motion by Hopp, second by Justice Hill. Is there further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, abstentions, matter passes. Thank you, outstanding work. Thank you, Mr. Wood, that was great. And mostly because you said I said something succinctly and accurately. All right, item three is the one-time $30 million court interpreter employee incentive grant program. We have with us Judge Conklin again to present, and we also have Mr. Denton from the Center for Families, Children's and Courts to present with this. Go ahead.
Judge Rubin, thank you. I'll kick it to Doug in just a second, but just to summarize, the recommendation is set forth at page 26 and 27 of your materials. This is just another allocation methodology we're asking you to approve to go to the council regarding the grant funds for the court interpreter program. The parameters of the grant are rather restrictive, and so the participation is, while wide open, was not universal in its, all the courts did not ask to participate. So we got plenty of money to go around. Doug, I'll kick it to you to briefly summarize that.
Sure. Thank you, Judge Conklin, and good afternoon, Judge Rubin and Budget Committee members. There's a draft council report in your meeting materials on this item at page 26. Last September, SB 170 amended the 2021 Budget Act and provides $30 million in one-time general fund through the establishment of the Court Interpreter Employee Incentive Grant. To summarize, this grant provides funding for 1 year of salary and training costs to establish new full-time court interpreter employee positions. Staff developed grant guidelines based on the language of SB 170 and discussions with the administration and legislative staff. There are two categories of grants. Category one provides up to $18 million for grants to courts who have spent 20% or more on contractors or part-time employees in two consecutive years out of the last 4 years for specified languages. Category two provides up to $12 million for grants to courts who currently spend 80% or more on court employees for specified languages. So they're the inverse of each other, and all courts qualify for one or the other category. For both categories, courts are able to request interpreter positions in other languages if they can demonstrate local need. Grant funding is intended to help courts reduce, or at a minimum, maintain the overall percentage spent on independent contractors or part-time interpreter employees to 20% or less. Courts are also expected to maintain grant-funded positions beyond the grant year as long-term positions, and there is no guarantee of future funding. Council staff distributed grant guidelines and application form and historical court interpreter expenditure data to all 58 courts in January. On February, we conducted a webinar to explain to the courts the purpose of the grant and the parameters. We also prepared an FAQ document for courts. The deadline for courts to apply was February 18th. A total of 9 courts applied for a total of 18 new positions, 12 positions under Category 1 and 6 positions under Category 2. The total amount of funding requested, approximately $2.5 million, is around 8% of the available $30 million. So in total, the grants would support the creation of 18 new court interpreter employee positions, including 14 for Spanish and one each for Mixteco, American Sign Language, a certified deaf interpreter, and a Mandarin or Cantonese interpreter. TICBAC approved the draft report and recommendations at its March 14th meeting. And then I just wanted to note, as Judge Conklin mentioned, the $30 million will be available to courts for expenditure or encumbrance until June 30th, 2024. Because there's remaining funding, the council report also includes a recommendation that council staff initiate another grant application process for the CIEIG in the next fiscal year in order to distribute the remaining funding. And as Judge Conklin mentioned, one of the challenges with the grant is that it's a one-time grant that provides a year of salary and training. And so it's a commitment by the court to bring on long-term staff without a guarantee of future funding. And many courts don't have the allocation to support new interpreter positions. So Judge Conklin, I'll turn it back to you. The recommendations are on page 26 and 27. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Douglas. As always, very efficient. And I won't repeat the recommendations that are laid out in the report.
Right. Thank you very much. Interesting report. Does anybody have any questions? I see none. Do we have a motion?
I move to adopt the recommendation.
Oh, let's do this. All right. Was that Judge Mormon moved?
Yes.
And I'll
right,
second.
Is there a second? And Hill seconds. All right. We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Abstain? It passes. Thank you for that great report. And finally, from TICBAC, we have the 1058 allocations. This is for the Child Support Commissioner allocations for 22-23 and the Family Law Facilitator programs. We turn this over to Judge Conklin from Chair of TICBAC, as Chair of TICBAC, and from Ms. Maves, also from the Center for Families, Children, and the Courts. Please.
Judge Rubin, thank you very much again. This is a routine item. I think you've considered this many times, folks. It just, as exactly as Judge Rubin just said, and Ann is about to say, it just covers the allocation of Child Support Commissioner and Family Law Facilitator programs. And so as not to mess it up anymore, I'll turn it to Anna. Anna.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Yeah, this is our annual agenda item for the approval of allocation of funds that the Judicial Council receives from the Department of Child Support Services for the operation of the AB 1058 program in the courts, the allocations are based on an approved funding methodology for the Child Support Commissioners that was approved in January of 2019 based on a workload methodology and an approved methodology that was approved by the council in July of 2021 for the Family Law Facilitators based on a population methodology. So the attachments 4A and 4B reflect the allocation for each of the courts based on those approved methodologies from the council.
Those recommendations are page 32.
All right, outstanding. Do we have any questions for our speaker, Ms. Mays, or for Judge Conklin on this item? All right, is there a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Justice Hill.
I'll
wow.
Second.
That, now I know what it's like when you're on stage and the other actor, like, just forgets the line. All right, thank you, Justice Hill. Do we have a second?
Judge Mormon.
Judge Mormon, thank you. All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? All right, it passes. Thank you very much, Ms. Mays and Judge Conklin. I think, Judge Conklin, that does conclude TICBAC's presentation today. Is that right?
It does. I want to thank Joe and Cottrell and Douglas and Anna and Brandy and staff for all their hard work that went into making these so efficient. I hope nobody mistakes brevity here for lack of concern. We're just trying to be efficient with your time, and we do appreciate it. Thank you.
No, and I think that's a great point to make. I think also these are issues that have been up, except for the funds held on behalf of. These are all issues that have been before us before the council before us. We're all pretty familiar with them, and the reports were really thorough. So that was super helpful. So thank you for that. Judge Conklin. All right. Well, thank you all for being here. And as we close out our public portion of the meeting, I just want to announce our next meeting will be May 18th, 2022. And with that, is there any further business for the good of the order for the public portion of the meeting? Anybody? All right. Seeing none, that concludes the public portion of the meeting. Thank you, everybody. And we're in adjournment, and we're going to stop the recording.